Hi dear followers, and welcome back on EMSpedia. On 19th and 20th September, the Emergency Services Show 2018 will take place at NEC in Birmingham. And we are waiting for this event, rich of attractive news, by speaking with special speakers on emergency topics that will be treated during the show. Today we talk about interoperability and communication in emergency services, and we are with Professor Paresh Wankhede, Emergency Services Management Expert and Director of Search at Edge Hill University, Ormskirk in UK. So good morning, Professor, and thank you for your availability today.
Good morning, Laura, and many thanks for speaking to me. Thank you very much.
Okay, so your activity, professor in the university, is, of course, as I said, emergency services management expert, but in particular, can you explain briefly what is your activity in particular?
Yeah, I'm also the director of research in the school, and I also lead the UK's first professional doctorate program in emergency services management, which we have developed at the university and which I'm the program leader. And I'm also the editor-in-chief of International Journal of Emergency Services, which is an Emerald academic journal. And we have been publishing research papers for the last 8-7 years for the journal. Now, in my own work, I'm also I'm an academic, but I'm a researcher and commentator, and I've got a PhD in ambulance performance and culture management from the University of Liverpool. And I regularly write and publish work on the analysis of strategic leadership, organizational culture, performance and change, and interoperability between emergency services in the UK. And I've also published work in collaboration with the professionals on the leadership and management perspectives in the ambulance, police, and fire and rescue services. And I also chair specialist panels on emergency services at major international conferences such as the British Academy of Management, the European Academy of Management, and the others. And I'm quite interested on the theme about the modernization and professionalization of emergency services. So that's kind of, in nutshell, briefly what I do for a living.
Okay. So thank you for this introduction. And so let's start from scratch. You will participate at the Emergency Services Show this year, and your seminar is Looking Beyond Protocols, Improving Interoperability with Better Understanding of Organizational and People's Issues. So what are the importance of roles, links, and flows during an emergency situation?
That's a very good question, Laura. And I think before I go into the specifics of my seminar, I think I just wanted to highlight a few things about how important communication is, especially in terms of or in times of crisis. Because unlike a normal situation, I think when you're dealing with communication issues, especially during a crisis or in emergencies, I think there are so many things which can go wrong. So I think, to me, and again, the key thing is about the focus should always be on the people who are affected by the emergency or by the event. So I think everything has to be done in accordance of the help and benefit of the people who are affected by the crisis. And I think good communication also helps to ensure the safety of the people, as you would agree, isn't it? Because I think you need to get the best response, which will help to deliver effectively what is the right communication message, because at the end of the day, you want to protect people, you want to make sure that they are safe, and at the same time, you also want to make sure that you're having the right response, because at the end of it, I think in many ways, you agree that it's about building public confidence. Now, there are several things which I think are relevant in terms of this whole idea of communication, and I think I'll just talk about a few things. I think the key thing is about the clarity of the message, isn't it? What kind of message or what kind of communication we are parting as part of that process. I think that's the key. The clarity of the message is the key. I think it's also important about the credibility of the message of the information which is being communicated, because I think, again, it's equally important that that's done carefully. How the message is selected or delivered, that's important as well. I talked about the content of the message itself. I think those are important questions as well. My experience also suggests that a clear line of command or a chain of command or a point of contact is always helpful to assure both public as well as the staff in those situations. So in the UK, for example, we do have a system of declaring a major incident, and then one of the agencies, usually the police, takes lead in terms of all the communication and in terms of showing the leadership. I think the right leadership also plays an important role. And then again, in this modern day and age of communication, I think selecting the right channel or tools for communication, I think they're also equally important. So I think what I'm trying to say here is, I think it's all about those things, which in many ways looks simple, but I think they're very, very important, especially when you're dealing with a situation when everybody is panicking and public are panicking, but we rely on the excellent record of our emergency services, especially in the UK, I think, who do their job brilliantly 24/7 and with a smile on their face. So I think broadly, I would talk about some of those things, how these things are important. Does that answer your question, please?
Yes. Another point to improve is operability, yeah, of course, and yeah, also then, of course, then communication. What do you think about EMS communication standards? Do you think we're dealing with a robotic style of communication nowadays?
I think my answer would be yes and no. I think we should be careful that we don't become robotic in our responses. But at the same time, I think we should also need to make sure that we take into account how the whole agenda around communication is developing. Because I think in terms of any emergency management regime, effective communication and effective communication strategy is the key. But there could be various barriers, and I think different kinds of crises have shown that when we deal with different issues, I think we can find different issues coming into the play. So if I just kind of briefly talk about some of the key kind of barriers, I think that would be useful. I think, again, the timeliness of the information becomes important, because I think if you have too much of information too soon, I think it can create panic. Or people may not be sure, and I think that's why having a clear line of command and proper communication setup helps people to make sure that they feel safe. So I think reassuring public and reassuring people about safety, their safety, safety of public property, I think is also important. I think the reliability of information is important too, and I think this is an important point, especially in this day and age when we rely on social media for every single thing, or where the entire crisis is being played out in social media, and all kinds of misinformation can spread if there's not enough information. And I think that's a bit tricky. And I have full regards for the emergency services, because I work closely with them, and I write about the wonderful work which they do in terms of helping, in terms of keeping us safe. But I think even they are operating amidst lots of, organizational and financial challenges, because they also have issues around resources, around funding, and, in terms of staffing levels and so on and so forth. So I think developing better communication and improving coordination between various agencies is always important, and I think it's always the key for making sure that any emergency is dealt properly rather than in a robotic manner. So just to give, we had a massive incident last year, if you remember, the very sad Manchester Arena attack. where people lost their lives. And I think emergency services played a wonderful role in terms of dealing with the whole crisis, and then the Kerslake inquiry, which looked at the response of the emergency services, was really, really positive about the excellent response by the Blue Light Services. And I think it's not easy, because I think what we also need to understand is that in those simply difficult times, I think people who are on the ground, especially the emergency staff, I think they can be also stressful, because it's quite a chaotic and dangerous environment. So I think it's all around. I think we also need to have investment, for example, in any kind of a framework or process in place which will help people to act with a high level of confidence. And I think, again, this was shown in Manchester that I think local resilience forums were very robust, which helped the partner agencies to perform well, you know, with lots of confidence. So I think we need to keep all those factors in mind. If that makes sense?
Yes, and it is possible to organize the communication flow without influences by human factors, or we must study alternative standards that can preserve comprehension and action, even thought, fear, trauma, and other compromised situations.
I think the benefits of, you know, of having in, or investing in a collaborative partnerships and emergency planning are too important to be ignored. And I think they have been really wonderfully demonstrated by the response of the emergency services, as I was saying, at the after the Manchester attacks last year. But I think at the same time, we should also recognize the fact that we are dealing with services and organizations who are also grappling with other kinds of issues. And again, I'll go through them in my seminar. I want to talk about how the context of the Blue Light Services is also changing, and it's quite a very difficult operational terrain under which they operate. So it's not always easy. And I have, as I said, I have regards for the roles they do, but at the same time, I think we should also be cognizant of the fact that I think the people on the ground should also be equipped in terms of technological support, in terms of resources, to take the right decision and to act in the interest of whatever is the best option possible. And at the same time, we should also have confidence that the emergency service staff will do their best to protect public life and public property. So I think the human factors are important, but at the same time, we should also bear in mind that, unlike anybody, people who work in these organizations, who are brave and who almost help us and save us and protect us 24 hours in a day, are also human beings. They also have issues, and I think we should do everything possible to help them deal with some of those issues. So one of the, and I'll just give an example. So if you look, and I think I said before, I think dealing with media, I think it's presenting a major crisis now, because there are so many channels available. People use their social media, people use it for spreading misinformation, spreading panic, while at the same time, I think there's some research done that for a lot of young people, their primary source of information is not TV or print or newspaper, but it's social media. So there are always dangers of kind of making sure that the information which people are reading is true and correct, isn't it? And I think the emergency services also need to operate within this very, very challenging presence of social media and 24/7 media presence. It's not easy when you're trying to deal with a very complicated investigation or a very kind of unfolding situation where the whole world can see what's happening. So I think it's a complicated one. And I think the second, and because of that, I think one of the key challenges for the emergency services is to make sure that they prevent any kind of rumors or misinformation from any kind of communication which goes out from them, because otherwise it might start, it may spread further panic, which may not be the desired outcome of what they are doing.
Yes, also because witnesses may be spread wrong information through social media. So this may complicate emergency services activity, isn't it?
It does, and it does, and I think that's I think that puts an additional challenge for the emergency services, because they have to deal with not only the actual incident, but they also deal with what's being put in social media and make sure that those social media channels are constantly updated in terms of the Twitter feeds, whatever the organizations are dealing with. Yeah, so I think that's quite important as well.
Yes, of course, absolutely. So, as I said at the beginning, you will hold a seminar during the show. And how will this seminar develop? I mean, you will focus on other points in addition to those that we discussed in this talk?
Yeah, I am, because I want to go beyond this idea of interoperability and beyond technology, because I think technology is a driver.
Yeah.
Technology is a driver for us to work better. It's not an end in itself. And I think the key people, because the key is the people, the key for me, the most important part of any emergency service response is the people who deal with that crisis. And if we can equip them with the best tools and technologies, I think that's great. But at the same time, I think that's what has been one of the constant themes in my writing, that increasingly I want to highlight some of the challenges or some of the issues being faced by the emergency services staff. So, for example, I told you earlier that how, especially from a UK point of view, the context is becoming very, very difficult, because there are several kinds of barriers, you know, in terms of how things are changing. And in my talk, I will be highlighting few of them. So, for example, I think the first one I want to highlight is issues around workforce health and well-being. So, to give an example, that the ambulance service staff have the highest sickness absence rate in the UK NHS, and many emergency service staff now suffer from mental health and illness issues, well-being issues, and I think that's a really, really important factor for organizations to deal with that. The other thing I want to highlight in my seminar is about having the right leadership style and having a very positive organizational culture, because again, I think it's important that you got leaders, right leaders at the time who can provide that leadership in terms of how things can be dealt with in terms of dealing with a crisis. So that would be another theme I want to focus in my talk. The other challenge I want to talk is about, because emergency services also have a responsibility to save lives and save people's property and other things. I think there's too much, they are very operationally focused, because it's about taking people to the hospital as quickly as possible if you're an ambulance service, or putting out fires, or saving people from other kinds of acts of terror or whatever, you know, for the police. And because they are very operational organization, I think there's too much of reliance on performance and targets, whereas some of the things around health, well-being, around other things are not, I won't say they're not taken seriously, but perhaps in terms of priorities that may not stack up right at the highest end. So again, I want to highlight that we need to invest in people. And my final take-home message for my talk is about this idea of, I think, if we need to change, I think we need to reform, to transform, isn't it? Because I think if we are making any changes, we can't just make changes. I think we need to really make transformational changes.
Yeah.
That's the kind of things I want to highlight in my seminar as well, other than highlighting how effective communication can help.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very interesting, Professor. So you wish to add some other considerations to this talk?
Yeah, so as I said, so I want to kind of make it a bit more broad-based. It will be quite an interactive session where I'll be inviting participants or the audience to also share their viewpoint, because this will be a very informed audience, because the Emergency Service Show is a very specialized show. So I'm hoping that we'll have a good exchange of ideas. I do work with individual services on different projects, and I look forward to this exchange, because one of the key challenges, as far as I'm concerned as an academic, is to almost bridge this gap between theory and practice. So all these organization people are real good professionals, and I think it's just about making sure that we bridge this gap in terms of how the exchange of ideas, or how we co-produce the knowledge, you know, and that has been one of my key themes in my career, that I'm very interested to co-produce knowledge in partnership with the professional. So I regularly write with the emergency service professionals. I write for professional magazines. I go and speak at different seminars, and I share these ideas. I learn from them. So I think it's this mutual sharing of ideas between academia and professional organization, I think, is also important, so that we can learn from each other, and I think we can make a real difference. Again, that's something which I want to highlight as well in terms of my seminar.
Okay, very interesting. Thank you, Professor, for your analysis and for your brilliant contribution, and we hope you will enjoy the Emergency Services Show.
I'm sure. Thank you very much, Laura, and thanks very much for your questions. I really enjoyed this talk.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Professor. This was Professor Paresh Wankhede from UK, and you will find him on 19th September at the Collaboration Theatre from 3:15 to 4:20 p.m. So keep on following emspedia.com for further issues and updates on the ESS 2018. Thank you.